clear. I'm kind of glad that Terry read the first part of that psalm, the instructions, I believe, for the musicians, and the reminder that this is a song. And I think it's important for us to think for a moment about the role that our songs play for us, just as they did for these very ancient people of God. Because I truly think that our songs are ways that we remember and sort of even rehearse who we are, whose we are, something about who God is, to whom it is that we offer our praise and our worship each week. We just sang Simple Gifts, and that's, you think about it, that's kind of played that role for us this morning to remind us that as Quaker people, we seek to live in simplicity in our daily lives, that is a reminder of one of the important aspects of our faith. And so I think it was just the same way for these folks back hundreds, if not thousands, of years ago when this psalm was first composed and shared in the gatherings of the people of Israel. And I think this one in particular, you might recognize there's sort of an echo in Psalm 67 of two, I would say, monumental passages in the Hebrew Scriptures. In other words, this psalm in particular, I think, played a very big part in remembering who they were as the children of Israel. You might recognize in that first stanza the blessing that's often given at the close of our time of worship and in other places, that great... it's called the Aaronic blessing, the blessing that Aaron was to say as the priest over the people of Israel. We call it the priestly blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance, his face, his smile upon you and give you peace. So that was important. Those were important words to remember who they are as people whom God has blessed and will continue to bless. But it should always be pointed out that when God chooses some person, it is in order to be for others. And that brings us to the other passage, as I said, a monumental part of what it meant to be the children of Israel, the people of God in their time. And that's a reference back to the calling of Abraham. Remember in Genesis 12 there in the first few verses we hear that God calls Abraham to leave his home and to follow him to a land that's going to be given to him. And then this wonderful promise, you'll be the father of a great people, and through them all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. So those two, as I said, central passages in the Hebrew Scriptures are actually the theme of this song. It's a reminder to the people who they are, whose they are, and how they are to see now. Because that's really one of the ways that we come here, is to have our vision corrected so that we can see things correctly. Because we're getting messages all week about other ways of seeing ourselves and who we are and what the world's about and so forth. So one of the ways we come here each week is to sort of have some help with our ability to see correctly. And so in those two passages, the people of Israel learn to see themselves first as those whom God has blessed, whom God has called, whom God has called his beloved, has entered into this covenant relationship with. But also that calling is not just for them, but it's for everybody, for the whole earth. Through your family, through the children of Abraham, all the families of the earth are going to get blessed. And these psalms, most of our English translations talk about this blessing going out so that the nations will praise God. Who are the nations? The ethnos, the ethnicities around the world. Now, it's important for us not to think that this represents a bunch of people far away from Newcastle. You know who the nations are? Us. The nations are the Gentiles. That's who it's talking about. That's not somebody else this blessing's for. That's for you and me. We have received this blessing that was promised to all the families of the earth through the children of Abraham, through that child of Abraham called Jesus. Israel's Messiah. So that now we get to join in, and this becomes our song too. Because let me tell you, if you don't remember anything else I say this morning, please remember that when we are blessed by God, it is always a blessing that's to move through us and to somebody else. When the grace of God comes to you, it's already on its way to somebody else if you don't block it. We like to block it, don't we? We like to decide who's worthy and who's not. But you remember, I remember the words from 2 Corinthians where Paul says, "For it is the God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus." There's that idea again of the face. Light coming from the face. That it is seeking God's face always means seeking God's presence. And that's light. We as all people, as Quakers, ought to understand something about the importance of light in seeing. If there isn't any light, you're not going to see anything. You're going to imagine all kinds of stuff that's not actually there, probably. Because light isn't just something that we look at. It is the means by which we see. So we talk about this light of Christ that's in everybody. Our task then is to turn to that light, let the love of God shine upon us, and also then to learn to see everybody else through that light. And friends, we all know that's about as Quaker as you get, isn't it? Throughout our 350-some year history, various friends from every time period have expressed this reality in different ways, and probably one of my favorite is the way that John Woolman spoke about this thing. We always talk about that of God in everybody. That's what I'm talking about. That's what, at least part of what that means, is that this light, this desire of God to bless everybody, is present in everybody. And our task is to help people turn to that and let it become effective in their lives. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. You know who gets to be the face of Christ Jesus? You do. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Let them be blessed through you and me, so that this also will then become their hymn. And you know, I could really digress here about any time that we decide we want to share our faith, for that to be effective, for that to bear some kind of fruit, it must always come from the overflow of our own hearts. Not as a duty that we have to discharge somehow so that we can check that box and get some credit from God, but it's about that we experience some joy ourselves, and we want to share it. The light of the glory of God has shone on us in the face of Christ Jesus. We'd like to reflect that same joy to somebody else. And I think that most of the time when that's not what's going on, it doesn't end well. I was reading about somebody who was going around to a park and witnessing to people at the various tables who were having a picnic, and the person who's writing it says that person should have got a fork in the hand, probably, and probably deserved it, because they were just, don't get me started on, do you know the four spiritual laws? Sorry. Nothing wrong with that. There's an important place for Christian witnessing. I'm not trying to put that down at all. I'm just saying that for it to really be the work of God, it comes from the overflow of our own hearts. And maybe another way of saying it is we need to take some of the same medicine for ourselves to get us well so that we can then begin to heal some other people. Because that's how it works. That's how God works. That is how God works. God works by blessing you in order to bless other people. That's God's way of doing things. Look at the entire story of the scriptures. That's how it works. Anyway, back to John Woolman. He was speaking about this, and he said it this way. He said, there is a principle which is pure, placed in the human mind, which in different places and ages hath different names. It is, however, pure and proceeds from God. It is deep and inward, confined to no form or religion, nor excluded from any, where the heart stands in perfect sincerity. That's a drastic change in the way we look at other people, isn't it? That should be a drastic change in the way we look at Buddhists, Muslims, Sikhs, Hindus, and on and on. The early Quaker missionaries are said to have gone to other peoples, not just to share, but also to learn from them what they had received from this light of Christ, which is in everybody. You see, faith is about how we see God. It's about how we see ourselves, and then it's about how we see these other folks around us, both near and far. John Woolman was probably the closest thing to a Quaker saint we have in our history, recognized as a holy, holy person by Christians of all different kinds. A wise spiritual teacher asked, let me say one more thing here. This psalm by the church is usually one that has been prayed in the mornings. The Benedictine monks pray this as a morning psalm, and there's a good reason for that, because when we say, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, the words picture God's face brilliantly shining like the sun in a darkened world, just like the sun does each morning. A wise spiritual teacher asked his disciples how they could tell when the night had ended and the day had begun. One said, when you see an animal in the distance and you can tell whether it's a horse or a cow, then you know the sun has risen. No, the teacher said. When you look in the distance and you can see a tree and you can tell whether it's an oak tree or a maple tree. Wrong again, said the teacher. Well, then what is it? When you look into the face of any man and recognize your brother in him. When you look into the face of any woman and see in her your sister, that's when the sun has risen. And if you cannot do this, no matter what time of day it is still night. May God be gracious to us. Make his face to shine upon us. And may all the ethnicities of the world praise him. Amen.